the section we're going to be talking about, looking at systems, families, the relationship between individuals and their families. We're going to be getting our eye in on a core piece of thinking about how any one relationship is impacting on the recovery process or the idea of a recovery process. We're going to be thinking about it from the perspective of how there are different parts inside or outside the individual that are constitute their system and what those parts are, and generally getting ourselves focused on systemic thinking from the point of view of being a coach. So on your right hand side you will see a PDF. Please use this PDF because I'm going to refer to the slides as we go along. So once you've got that open, the first slide of course is relationships and systems as a title slide. Go to slide number 2 and we're going to take a look at this idea of systems. In this diagram you can see at the center is a red person figure, and that is in this diagram the person being coached. It's the client, the person who is either thinking about being in recovery or is in recovery and already started their journey. They are being coached by the recovery and wellness coach, which is in the large green circle which is closest to the client, and there's a little red line that connects the two. And then you will see surrounding them in their environment all these other green dots. Now these green dots have been given different names and to cover different aspects of life, of this client's life. And you can see that some of them are connected to the client with red lines. We'll come to that in a moment. And you can see that the diagram is making the clear point that some of these green dots are resources for the person being coached. So this is pretty straightforward. All of us have relationships, and we have relationships with people. We have relationships, of course, with ourselves. We have relationships with organizations, institutions, and communities. This diagram represents some of these, not all, because I'm sure possibly we could find more, but this covers broadly many of the different types or descriptors we could give the people that we that our clients might be working with. So in this diagram we understand an important principle, which is that although all of these things exist around our client, the quality and the nature of their relationship with all of these things will be being experienced by them in a certain kind of way and will be impacting in some way how they feel about themselves, how they feel about their lives, how they are able to understand these relationships as either useful or, if you like, as unuseful, or put another way, as they perceived by them to be beneficial or not beneficial. So what we're interested in systemically is to say, first of all, what is actually out there? What is actually in our client's world? And this is something that you will do when you start your coaching relationship with your client. You will be, one of the first tasks for the coach really is to bring to the fore, or bring up into the conscious conversation some thinking and consideration about what actually is out there for the client. What are the constituent parts in their environment? The next most important and vital question to ask of any part of this system or any component of this system is, and for this let's just go through to go to the next slide, or which is called number 3, is to ask ourselves a fundamental question, or for our clients to be asked, or for them to be able to reflect on a fundamental question, which is any one given relationship they have an asset or a liability? And what we mean by that is the relationship in their experience or their viewpoint something that either actively supports them in some way that may or may not be related to this recovery journey, but it's something that they would describe as supportive. Could be a person, you could be talking about somebody's spouse, for instance, or, you know, close partner, and they might say, no, my wife, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, is very supportive. Whenever I'm with them, I feel really that, you know, it's a great relationship. And the overall viewpoint of that relationship could be experienced and understood by your client as positive. And the other side, of course, is the converse of that, is that the relationship does the opposite. It actually threatens something for the client. And what we mean by threaten, which means we mean to decrease feelings of well-being, feelings of efficacy, personal empowerment, actually makes, perhaps generates dissonance, or makes the client experience feelings which they find troubling, and so on. So a relationship that actually threatens the purpose of the recovery to wellness journey, if you like, and actually causes a decrease in the likelihood of its success. In this diagram, of course, you see there's a point in the middle which we've called ambiguous. Really, this is, you know, to make us understand and really realize that it's not either or. That, again, this is a bit of a continuum in the sense that no relationships are always entirely 100% supportive all the time, and mostly relationships tend to go up and down a little bit, and sometimes they become ambiguous, or they become less supportive than at others. Sometimes they move from supporting to being a little bit insupportive, and so on. So we want to think about this not just in terms of, you know, absolutes, actively support or actively threatens. We want to think about it as well as being ambiguous. Now, if you see that below, we've got a time scale on this, and so this is to bring in this idea that a relationship that a client has that actively threatens, for instance, can be moved to being one that's actively supportive. So if we think about families, we think about the fact that often families have been through a difficult journey around a healthcare challenge, or perhaps have, been part of the system which has caused the problem in the first place, or caused the healthcare challenge. An example would be, think about a family that perhaps the whole family has extremely poor eating behaviors or eating habits, and as a result, perhaps some of the health challenges that are being experienced by your client are actually also developing or have developed as well inside that family. So there might be a collective approach to health and well-being that is detrimental not just to the person you're coaching, but to other people. Now, when the person you're coaching says, well, listen, I want to do something about this. I want something to be different. I want to become more healthy again. I want to, whatever the ambition is, but I want to lose weight. I want to do something about perhaps my type 2 diabetes or my pre-diabetic and so on. When they make that statement, then consideration has to be given as to whether the close personal relationships in the family are going to be a threat to this new decision at the moment, and or are they going to be supportive? And in reality, what actually often happens is that they start off to be a threat, but change over time through coaching and through a process of learning, to become actively supportive. So relationships that are at any given moment described as, say, threatening doesn't mean that they are absolutely threatening, in the sense that there's always the potential for change into being a supportive relationship. And as they travel from actively threatened to actively supports, there is, if you like, this ambiguous stage where they're not really either or, they're, you know, moving in and out. So we want to be thinking about working as a coach with our clients to understand how these relationships work, what they offer, and whether they can be changed, and whether your client wishes to embark on the changing of a relationship. When it comes to clients that have close family that they are, you know, living with and have shared lives with and so on, the option to just remove themselves from a threatening relationship is almost certainly not present. One of the reasons that residential treatment programs for a number of different healthcare challenges can kick off a good start for somebody is because it removes them from their immediate family system. And removed from their immediate family system, they're able to sort of regroup, relook, learn some new things, and to sort of kick off some new ideas and behaviors and thoughts about changing their lives, changing their health. Problem is that when they go back into the family system, all those influences of the family system come back into play. And of course, that makes it a lot tougher for the individual to maintain the new course that they've set. But abandoning the family or abandoning all these relationships is not either possible and or desirable. I mean, why would people want to do that? The object of this exercise is not to break up families, but is actually to shift an individual into a recovery to wellness process and hopefully take and influence positively the family with them. So on the other side, of course, there may well be relationships in an individual's life that they can actually step away from, can step back from quite easily in a way that in a short period of time, or even over a long period of time, but usually in a fairly short period of time, will be the best solution for them. Good example of this, for instance, would be drinking environments, alcohol use environments. If you are trying to control, reduce your alcohol intake, then you probably are going to be thinking as the client about how do I reduce my exposure to relationships which encourage me to drink a lot. So that could be if you're always going down to the local bar or pub or club or wherever it is and going there is synonymous with drinking a lot, then you will probably want to step back or choose to step back a little bit from those engagements whilst you reset your life for yourself. So different kinds of relationships can be more easily moved some distance away from you rather than actively trying to change them. So this thinking about whether a relationship is an asset or a liability is extremely crucial once we've got a picture of what's out there in the system and what kinds of relationships are in the system. Now, if we just go back again to we'll go down to slide 4, please, to the fourth one. You'll see that this slide illustrates the point I was making about the ambiguity, the assets and liabilities, and it has a question mark there, because what we're saying is that often a lot of these parts of the client's system are going to be unclear as to how they are actually influencing or affecting the recovery journey. So looking at this diagram, we can see that most of these descriptors out there are not particularly personal to a family system. So for instance, family is just one of these green blobs or circles to the left of the larger circle. And we've got all sorts of other things like medical, mentors, employment, therapy, holiday, aftercare, treatment, and so on. These are all places that your clients, or items, if you like, that your clients may be interacting with. So let's take a look, for instance, let's take a look at medical. So your client may be needing to interact with medical services. That may be their GP or their physician. It may be a specific specialized unit that they are required to go and see to receive either medication or evaluation or some other kind of medical service. Now, the thinking or the question that we ask about is something a threat or is it a support applies to that service as well. We do not want to think or make an assumption that just because something has got the label medical service on it, it is an absolutely positive resource for our client. Some people's experiences of medical services are extremely negative. Some services do not provide what I call recovery-orientated attitudes towards the people they serve. And whilst they might be providing a medication service or other some kind of medical service, they in fact become quite a difficult experience for the individuals involved. Usually because the way that they are treated, usually because of the relationship that they experience with that service. So we want to be aware and make sure that when we check out these kinds of aspects with our clients, we want to make sure that we are asking them to describe and to share what their experience is of going to that medical service. What happens when they're there? How does it impact on them? What kinds of emotions come up and so on? Because we want to get a clear picture of how all these constituent parts are either building this person up in a positive way or perhaps hindering how they feel about themselves and their relationship with what they're trying to do. This would apply to pretty much, well, to all of these aspects within the system. Now, we can also see that there are communities listed here. Well, on the right we have groups and communities. Again, same idea. We want to be thinking about how do our clients' interactions with communities or groups that they go to influence how they feel about themselves. What is their experience of that? Communities can be extremely important, powerful human ways of connection. They can be so uplifting. They can be really wonderful for people. And they can also be extremely challenging. They can be very difficult. How communities are run, the principles on which they are founded and so on, can affect quite profoundly how people experience them. So again, we want to be asking the same questions. So going on to slide 5 now. This is just to illustrate the point that I made earlier, and we just want to take a little bit more of a look at it here, that the nature of the relationship can change, that the relationship can move from actively supports to threatens to ambiguous, from ambiguous to actively supports to actively threatens. Now, before I was talking about it in the sense of just moving from supportive to threatening, or rather should I say from threatening to supportive, but actually the opposite can happen. A relationship can actually start out being perceived as supportive by your client, and then actually can become an actively threatening relationship, and then move to ambiguous. And what I want to just have in our thinking here is to not make up that it always has to go in one direction, that it actually can jump around. Again, there are contexts for this. Sometimes people will start off saying, particularly in early stages of trying to make some changes, they'll start off with a view that a particular relationship or service is actually supportive, and then they will come to realize, and they will over time, that actually it's not as supportive as they initially thought, as their own thinking about what they're trying to do changes. So, it's a constant process of listening, and it's a constant process, if you like, of checking on these core relationships to understand how they are changing, because for sure changing that they will be doing. Slide 6, if we go on to that, sometimes they just don't change. So when we and we're going to be using this diagram more through the training, particularly in the recovery and wellness modules, we're going to be starting to think about relationships that don't change, and some of them that actually have to be withdrawn from. And then there are ones which seem to have continual actively supporting experience for your client. Let's go to slide 7. Slide 7 is showing us that we're going to zoom now in on the family. So these items in this chart are, if you like, quite big items, in the sense that family, medical, home treatment, and so on. It's not really focusing on individuals, but when we zoom in, if you like, into one of them, we're going to zoom into family now, we can see, by going on to slide 8, that we can make for ourselves and with our clients, and they can make for themselves, a closer-up representation of the same system. In this diagram, again, we've got the client in the middle with their coach. And now what we've done is started to actually describe the specific relationships which compromise the family, the idea of the family. So in this example, uncle, mother, daughter, sister, father, partner. And I've put best friend into this as well, because although best friend isn't necessarily a family member, we want to think of them within the same frame in terms of they are more inside a family kind of system than they are outside of it, and so we can call that significant others as well. So it could be a live-in boyfriend or girlfriend or a very close long-time friend. This is now a zoomed-in look at a family scenario, and we can make a diagram like this with our clients, which we're going to see in the recovery module on a practical level how to do that, and we can start getting clearer about what are the qualities of this relationship, these relationships. If we go on to step 9, this just reminds us of our first step thought process about each of these relationships. Are they right now one that actively threatens, ambiguous, or actively supports this idea of recovery that your client is engaged in? And from that, we can then create a picture of the family system based, if you like, on the what our client shares with us and how they are thinking about what's going on in this system. They will start to generate a picture like this. And this picture really shows that the best friend may have been initially considered to be a support, but actually where we are now is they are currently and actively threatened. And now this could be to do with a behavior that is shared with the best friend. So the uncle, the father, again, are ambiguous, which means that on reflection, on thought, our client is beginning to see that whether people are really supporting them is something that they need to think about, and it's not so clear-cut or straightforward. I want to make a very important point here. We are only talking about our client's perception of these elements of the system. We are not making value judgments about whether an individual in our client system is actively supporting or not supporting our client. We are only concerned with our client's reality and experience of that relationship. And we want to make sure that from a self-management perspective, we are not allowing ourselves to get drawn into making value judgments about these people in our client system. Because, of course, it can change over time. These are, when it comes to families, these are complex, deep relationships, and they all have quite a strong and powerful impact on our clients' being and awareness, and so we want to be absolutely certain that we are not appearing to take any one particular side in an evaluation of a family member for our client, because it's not our role to do that. It's our role to hold this curiosity, to hold this inquiry that we're making about our client's world as they travel through it. So if we then go on now to slide 11, we want to shift our thinking to the idea of coaching a family member. Working with family members as a coach within the recovery and wellness context is extremely useful, and something that we advocate, and I advocate a lot, that is thought about as a necessary and important part of the process of developing a recovering system, as opposed to just a recovering individual. As we said earlier, all of us are connected. Your client is connected to their system. And inside that system will be people who have been strongly impacted as well by the healthcare challenge that you're coaching the person in recovery around. So that, in this diagram, we've used an example of a partner or a spouse, can actually really benefit from coaching. And the principle is really exactly the same. When we're working with somebody who's close to somebody in recovery, to wellness process, they are going through their own form, if you like, of recovery, as the whole system has to start thinking about changing, because the person in recovery is either thinking about or is changing. So you can see in this diagram, the person in recovery has now become a part of the partner's system. So there's been a swapping of places. Now this is a really interesting and important way to think about developing recovering systems, because now we can start to be curious about what is this partner's perspective of the process of recovery. What do they feel about all these relationships around them? And how do they feel about their own journey of change that is coming up as a result of the person in recovery's decision to change their lives? And again, we're going to be asking the same question. Slide 12, if you jump onto that, just to remind ourselves again of this slide, we are asking the same question. How do they feel about the relationships around them? Does it actively threaten or actively support? Or is it some kind of ambiguity or ambiguousness that they feel about these different relationships? So the family member may or may not choose to describe themselves as in recovery, and it's really not a requirement that they do. And as we know from our principles, this is entirely up to them to describe themselves how they approach this. But What we do know is that they have their own journey to travel in relation to this process of change that the person in recovery has entered into. So we want to be thinking for them about how, what is it that they want, what is the meaning of their lives, how are they bringing that about, how does that relate to their relationship with the person in recovery, and so on. So these diagrams help us visually and simply understand the systemic way of thinking about how families systems work and how to start thinking about the different kinds of components of these systems out there. So how can we change the likelihood of success as coaches? What do we need to be thinking about all the time? I would argue that there is no such thing as only coaching a person. You are always coaching a system. You are always coaching somebody systemically. The idea that there is an absence of system or systems would be incorrect. Everybody is connected to some kind of system. Even if they're connected to their internal system, so how they feel about themselves, what kinds of beliefs they hold about themselves, and so on. So systems coaching is really the reality of coaching, full stop. In recovery and wellness coaching, it is particularly important to remember this, because it is precisely the quality of these relationships between the components or the parts of a person's system that will so profoundly influence the success or not of their recovery to wellness journey. These elements of the system either produce a push or a pull, either, if you like, threaten or support. And those components, when we have more support than threat, we have increased opportunity for change. Your client has an increased opportunity for change because they have more momentum for that change in the direction they wish to go. So when you do the diagram like this, and you can imagine that if it was completely populated almost entirely with red dots, you would be thinking to yourself, I wonder how well my client is going to do, given that the momentum is mitigating or pushing against them. If you see a lot of green dots, then we can see this, that there is a lot of positive assets out there in the system's environment that they can lean upon. Again, the same applies inside the zoomed-in system, the family system. So, hope that you've found something useful about this. I want to close off this podcast with going to slide 13, just to give us a quick reminder that your job is to coach them around all these relationships to help them build and maintain more assets than liabilities. So we want to have a really green picture. Last slide 14, you will have heard me mention a couple of times about what we call the gateway relationship, how our coaching relationship should be seen as a gateway. And that is why in the previous diagrams, the green coaching circle is slightly differently configured, slightly larger, and is closer to the client. There is, if you like, a contradiction here, which is that the coach is indeed a part of the client's system. So you are a part of your client's system, but you perform a very unique role. You perform a role that is framed by the principles and approaches that we're going through in this course. And your primary role is to create an environment and a space where you and that you and your client can go into, and where they can examine the parts of their system. The way that they examine you, the coach, if you like, as part of the system, is something that you manage through the design of your relationship process. So you create an environment where your client can actually talk to you about the experience of the coaching relationship, and actually gets to change the nature of the relationship with you through the design interaction. And this is important because one of the ways in which your client will move external parts of their system that they currently see as red to green will be through redesign. So we really want our clients to become designers of their conscious designers, should I say, of their own relationships out there in their system. And so by consciously designing with you, they are not only getting the best that they can from their coach, but they're also getting knowledge and experience and learning how to think consciously about changing the relationships out there in their wider system. Your role is, in terms of the wider system, is to be a gateway, an environment, if you like, in which you stand with your coach and look out into their world and say, and they, you know, say, this is what they see, this is what they're experiencing. And within the coaching relationship, you are spending time together examining what is possible for those relationships, how those relationships fit, what is the meaning of them, what are the values in them, and so on. All of the parts that we've looked at earlier will be brought into this conversation around the parts of the system. So the gateway relationship, the client, the relationship you have with your client as they examine these relationships and parts of the system, is all done, of course, in present time. It's all done in the now, in the moment of the coaching session. And they bring into the present time, the present conversation, everything that's gone before from their experience, so from the past. So they bring the past into the now. This happened last week. This is my relationship with mum, and it's evidenced by you know, what happened, what we've been talking about since we've been together, and so on. Your client brings into the now the experience of all their relationships, and then from there, through examination of meaning and values and the idea of choice, and of course what your client is trying to create, they then move off into the future outside of the coaching session with a vision for creating something new for themselves in terms of those relationships. And it is this process that we are constantly cycling through as coaches. As we come together with our clients, we examine these bits of the past that they're bringing in terms of their relationships. They are re-visioning them, re-engineering them, re-examining them, and then saying, this is how I want it to be. And then they're stepping out into the future, or stepping out of the coaching session to bring that about. And then when we meet again, of course, we re-examine it. So really would invite you to think about your role as a coach in this way. So that concludes this first podcast, and I hope you enjoyed it, and look forward to seeing you on the next one, or hearing you, should I say, or you hearing me on the next one.